mentioned a few minutes ago about Brother Sikorski driving back tonight, and we know that we understand when we're driving, when you're driving a car, it's important to make the right turns when you're on the road. My wife and I have a funny story about the time we were on the turnpike, and I was trying to make the right turns, and there was a spot where the road was turning, and as it was turning, it split into two. And I didn't read the sign right. I was looking at it, didn't understand what it was telling me to do, and I took the wrong turn. And you know, when you do that sort of thing on the freeway, you can often sign yourself up for 20 miles in the wrong direction. And that is so frustrating, especially out east, when they have the walls, because everything's so packed together, they have walls. Maybe if around here, if it's a ditch, you can look for an open space in the traffic and just go through or something and avoid a ticket that way. But that's frustrating when you take a wrong turn and you have 20 minutes to stew about it until you can go in the other direction and have 20 more minutes before you're back to where you were when you made the wrong turn. And that's a good way to lose time. But we call those choices, whether they are literal or whether they are more figurative in life, we call that a fork in the road. You're coming up to a choice, and there's two different directions you could go. It's a fork in the road. And a fork in the road usually presents, and I'm using it figuratively now in life, that fork in the road usually presents a decision point, a key moment that presents a choice between two options that will bring vastly different outcomes. We don't spend time focusing on making the right turn, because we do spend time because we know that the end will not be the same. It isn't a fork in the road where the roads meet at the end and it doesn't really matter which one you go, which one you choose. We can only choose one of those. And we only choose it once. And the end of the choice has a very different outcome than the other choice. You might have heard this. The longtime catcher for the New York Yankees, Yogi Berra, is credited with saying, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." Think about that for a second. If only it were that simple. Oh yeah, I've got every fork in the road, every decision point figured out. I'll just take the fork in the road. It doesn't work that way. And tonight we're going to see from our text in Proverbs that you and I are presented with these kinds of choices regularly. And so the question is, which direction will we go? When God makes his wisdom available to us, he offers us a fork in the road. And that's the title of tonight's message, A Fork in the Road. And we have a choice to make. We have a decision. We have a direction to choose. And may we choose wisdom. Let's pray, and then we'll consider our text. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you offer us. If it weren't for that, we would have no chance at knowing wisdom. We cannot make it up on our own. We cannot discover it on our own. We would never see it if you didn't bring it to our attention, if you didn't make it available to us. And so we're thankful for that. But Lord, you know our frame. You remember that we are dust. And so often, we refuse to choose the wisdom that you offer to us. We choose the other direction. And it brings us out in a very different place. I pray that you would help us to always choose you, always choose obedience, always choose wisdom. Because the end of that road is a wonderful place. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to Proverbs chapter 1, and we will read the last 10 verses of the chapter, starting in verse 24. You'll remember last week we saw how wisdom is crying without. She's crying in the streets, she's crying in the public places, she's crying outside, anywhere, everywhere that men are. She is lifting up her voice, she is advertising the wisdom that she has to offer, she is making it known, she is offering it everywhere. And this is what God does for us. He gives us so many chances to know wisdom. And so this monologue, this speech, as it were, from wisdom is continuing here. So wisdom crieth without, she's speaking to us. And in verse 24, she says, "Because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." Now remember, this is Proverbs. This isn't a prophecy of a one-time fulfillment in the end times. This is going to finally come true. This is a proverbial approach to how people interact with wisdom and then find the destruction without it. And this can happen in small areas. You make a poor choice and you experience a measure of destruction. This can apply also to the judgment one day. People foolishly rejected the gospel. They die, they stand before God, and they're headed for eternal destruction and everything in between. And so this is how it works. This is what people find. And because they come into this destruction, the reason that they come into this destruction is the fact that they took the wrong fork in the road, the wrong branch coming off from the fork, the wrong road that they had to choose from. And I'm thankful that God often makes our life choices simple. I've noticed this in many different areas. It might be the area of doctrine. I remember years ago when I was going through Bible college, I think it was, and we were studying ecclesiology, the doctrine of the scriptural New Testament church, and how when you look at all the verses that piece together this doctrine, we compare scripture with scripture, it brings us out in the Baptist place. But as soon as you turn one of those verses or change it, maybe flip it around, and now you don't read it correctly, well, that's connected to this next verse, and so you have to do that. If you're going to be consistent, you have to flip that verse around too, and then this one and this one. And so suddenly, when you follow down that road, you end up in a very, very different place. And if you're honest, you'll say, well, this place cannot be consistent with Scripture. And I'm thankful that it's that way, because God is presenting us basically two choices. Are you going to believe the place where you come out here? And is it consistent with Scripture, or are you going to start changing things and come out way over here? Basic two essential choices. The doctrine or the study of manuscript evidence and which version of the Bible to use. It's also a very A or B kind of a choice. Because as you study it, you find out you're really only given two basic choices. And which one will you make? And over, God makes things simple for us. And as we seek Him in the daily walk of life, now we know that there are many choices. Sometimes our choices are very complicated, but we can simplify them by just saying, am I going to follow what I think, or am I going to let God show me? Really an A or B choice. And so we seek the Lord, and He shows us the thing that we should do, and He'll make it very simple for us. And we see that simplicity in this passage. There is either the path for wisdom, or there is the path that rejects wisdom. And I want us to see these two branches of the road. You come to a fork in the road, and I'm kind of imagining a Y shape, the letter Y. You're coming up to the fork, and there's two basic options. And so you can kind of imagine that with me. And I want us to see two roads. The first road is the road of pride. Verse 24, wisdom is saying, because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. And then verse 29, for that they hated knowledge, they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. And there are many carnal traits that are at work when we reject wisdom and we choose self. We could talk about the many carnal things, the many sinful traits that are all at work and all connected, but perhaps we would say that pride is the most basic of them, the most basic trait. We are going to either accept God's wisdom and follow God, or we're not. And what would be at the root of saying no to God? I think in a lot of ways, maybe most ways, pride is the most basic trait that is at work when we make that choice. Pride is inordinate self-esteem, an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority in talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office. And this unreasonable conceit manifests itself in lofty airs, distance, reserve, and often in contempt of others. So pride is, I have an inordinate self-esteem. I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. And the other side of that coin is, I think of others as lower than they are compared to me. That's what pride is. It's a basic problem that causes us to reject God's wisdom. And here's what pride does, and we see it reflected. Wisdom says in verse 24, because I have called and ye refuse. Pride ignores God's wisdom. Turn to Zechariah chapter 7. And we see God calling to the nation of Israel, calling to his people to obey him and follow after him, and they would not. Zechariah, the second to last book in the Old Testament, one of the minor prophets, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother. Verse 10, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. That's not very unreasonable, is it? But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears, that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Why would people respond that way? And it's very descriptive. Actually, it reminds me of a child. They refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder. I'm sure I did that when I was a child at times, and then promptly learned it wasn't a good idea. To stop your ears. You don't want to listen. This is a very proud response, especially to God. We will not listen to God. We refuse wisdom, the wisdom that's calling us. Jeremiah 6:16 says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. This is wisdom, but they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet, but they said, we will not hearken. God's wisdom is calling out to you, competing for your attention in this chaotic and noisy world. And he's taken the first step. He's broadcast it to us. He's extended it to us. He is calling. Will we refuse? Do we respond? And I think it's a blessing to note that every single person here has multiple ways of access to God's wisdom. There are multiple ways that you can access God's wisdom. Every single person here. Do you use those ways of access or do you ignore them? Pride not only ignores God's wisdom, it rejects God's help. Proverbs 1:24 says, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. And I think about this stretched out hand, and what would it represent? What would it signify? Well, I stretch out my hand when I go to shake somebody's hand. It's a gesture of friendship and familiarity and goodwill. I also stretch out my hand when my child is falling or about to fall or needs help getting up. You stretch out your hand to help somebody. And I see both of those options as being applicable to wisdom. A stretched out hand of wisdom, the stretched out extended wisdom of God is showing his goodwill toward us, is showing his love for us. He extends his wisdom when we need help, when we're struggling, when we cry out for help. And yet, wisdom says, no man regarded. Instead of desiring this friendship of wisdom, haughty pride looks down on it. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. And that's part of pride, this contempt, looking at others below themselves. It's haughtiness. Pride says, I don't need assistance. I'll do it on my own. I'll do it by myself. God says, I have some wisdom to offer you. I've got some strength to give you. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's down the road. You need some help here. And pride says, no, I'll do it on my own. Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. 1 Timothy 3:6, Paul talks about a novice and how the man of God, the bishop, the pastor, should not be a novice. And the reason is, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. And this is the danger when we are lifted up with pride. We fall into the condemnation of the devil. We don't need God's help. I'll do it on my own. And we're opening ourselves up for a fall. God, through wisdom, is extending to you his presence and his power. And pride says, no, I don't want it. I don't need it. God faithfully calls to us. How often does God call to us out of his wisdom? We read the Bible. We look around us. We see a sunrise. We hear God's blessings on another brother or sister in Christ. God is calling to us. He beckons to us. He convicts us. Do you accept his help? It's so easy for pride to say, no, I don't need that. I don't want it. I'll get by without it. Pride also forsakes God's words, the words of wisdom. Proverbs 1:25, wisdom goes on, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. And that's an interesting phrase, to set at naught. It's not something you probably use. I certainly don't use that phrase. And we might get the general idea, but I looked it up because I wanted to be real clear on what it means. It means to forsake or reject, to abandon or avoid, to refuse. So to set at naught, it would be like abandoning, you know, a pet or a possession or a person in the middle of the road, and you leave them and you walk away. You have set them at naught. And God is extending his wisdom, and he's holding it out to us, and we just turn around and walk away. That's setting at naught. Proverbs 1:30 is a similar verse. It says, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Those are big words. All is a big word. That's very serious. The word despise means to contemn, to scorn, to disdain, to have the lowest opinion of. And we see that a lot in our society. People disdain each other. People despise each other. Why? Often for petty reasons, often for superficial reasons. But we can have that attitude towards God's wisdom. Ugh, who needs that? We're all better than that, right? God help us. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 25. And I hope that I'm preaching to the choir, so to speak, but I know my own flesh, and I know that this is something that I can't ever say, well, I would never do that. I would never struggle with that. I would never be guilty of that. Again, Solomon is writing to his son, a prince. What prince would ever do that? Well, any prince that's made of the same stuff we are. Jeremiah 25, verse 2. The which Jeremiah the prophet spake unto all the people of Judah and to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, from the 13th year of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, even unto this day, that is the 23rd year, the word of the Lord hath come unto me, and I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, but ye have not hearkened. And the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants the prophets, rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened, nor inclined your ear to hear. They said, turn ye again now, every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings, and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given you and to your fathers forever and ever. And go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them. And provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. Again, a very reasonable command. Yet ye have not hearkened unto me, saith the Lord, that ye might provoke me to anger with the works of your hands to your own hurt. This is the will of pride. Wisdom says, ye would none of my reproof. It is the will of pride to reject reproof. And then later in verse chapter 130, they would none of my counsel. It was not their will. It was not the will of the simple ones and the scorners and the fools. It was not their will to accept wisdom. The will of pride is to reject God's reproof as wrong or harsh or unnecessary. God gives us counsel because he loves us. He's trying to spare us. He's trying to help us. And pride leaves it lying there in the dust. And this branch of the road, the branch that is pride that leads down that direction, that branch of the road is easy to choose. It doesn't take much for us to decide that. It comes very naturally to us. And I was thinking about a fork in the road and how at the very beginning, those two roads really begin at the same spot. And so it's really just a small distance between the two. What's the difference? They're basically the same. Well, the farther you go down them, the more they diverge, the more different they become. And so right at the outset, it doesn't seem like there's much of a difference. It seems like they're negligible, like they'll be parallel. It's really important which one we choose, not the road of pride. Sometimes we choose it naturally. We choose it maybe unwittingly. We don't realize that's what's in our heart. We're not aware. We're not wise to see that. But the end of that road, it's easy to start down that road, but the end of that road is anything but easy. Let's talk about the road of humility for a moment. Talked about the road of pride. Pride rejects God's wisdom and counsel, but humility responds very differently. Back in Proverbs chapter 1, we started reading in verse 24, but the verse beforehand that we looked at last week, the verse 23, shows the response of humility. Proverbs 1:23 says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The road of humility includes turning. And every sinner, all of us, every single one of us, begins the same way. We begin lost. We begin under condemnation. We begin in need of Christ. But not every sinner ends the same, and we're well aware of that. People can end their life in fellowship and harmony with God, doing things for God, or end up in abject destruction and despair and wickedness. So how we respond to God's wisdom and instruction and truth, how we respond to it makes all the difference. Because again, we have a room full of people, we have access to the same truth, access to the same help, but probably we won't all end up in the same place. How we respond to that makes the difference. The right response is very simple, and it's given here in Proverbs 1:23, turn you at my reproof. This is describing repentance. And not just repentance at the moment of salvation, but repentance whenever we're going the wrong direction. Saints need to repent just as often as they've ever had to. And we should be living in more victory, but we still have wicked hearts. We still need to turn. We still need to change our mind. Repentance is not a one-time thing. It's a regular thing. It's a normal thing. It's a good thing. Turning, turn you. This is repentance. It's obedience. Turn you at my reproof. Go this way instead. It's just simple obedience. It's also diligence and purpose. It's done with intention. Turning doesn't happen accidentally. You do it because you decided to, because you wanted to, and it's urgency. Not turning maybe turning, not turning later, now. Turn you at my reproof. When the reproof comes, you turn. This is what's being talked about. It's describing repentance, really. But then if you turn, they will be receiving. This is the path of humility. We hear God's wisdom, we hear truth, and we're humble, and we just do what it says. We turn around, and we turn immediately, and then we receive because we turned. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. The spirit and the words of wisdom. This is what comes when we turn. But if we're going to have that, we need to repudiate our own way and adopt God's way. I'm not going to continue down this road. God has shown me this is the wrong road, so I'm going to turn and accept his road, do what he wants. Only humility will agree to this. I think Paul or Saul on the Damascus road is a good example of that. He was going to Damascus. He had plans. He's going to persecute. He's doing the right thing. He was sure that he was serving God. And then he was struck to the ground, bright light, blinded. Why persecutest thou me, Saul? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And he turned. He said, it says, and he, verse 6, he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. When he turned, he heard the words of God's wisdom, and he received the spirit of wisdom. He was saved when he turned. He responded. He was humble. Unlike the beginning of the road of pride, that road is very easy to take. It's easy to be proud. It's natural. It's normal. It happens all the time. It doesn't take any effort. The road of humility, the beginning, is not easy. And really, we can become more accustomed to it and be more prompt in making that choice of humility, but it never comes easily. It never comes naturally. But the end of the road is much easier than the end of the road of pride. The end is good and peaceful and victorious. And we're going to look at the ends of those two roads. We talked about the fork in the road and how they start at the same place, but the farther they go, the more different they are. And let's talk about the end for a moment. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 26. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. That is heartbreaking. Verse 31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. What a terrible place to be. And yet this is where pride leads us. This is the end of the road. It's a very different place from when it started. And we might say, well, wisdom seems cruel here. I will mock when your fear cometh. I will laugh at your calamity. Is wisdom cruel? And this is from God. Is he vindictive? Well, because you didn't listen to me now, I'm not going to listen to you later. Does God gleefully declare, oh, you know, I gave my wisdom, I offered it to those people, but they're continuing down that other path, and so I'm just waiting, you know, like with the stopwatch. Time's up. Now you're in trouble. Is that how he is? No, he's not that way. Wisdom isn't that way. It's not cruel. It's not vindictive. I want us to consider why this would be the case. Because when calamity comes, as verse 26 talks about, and fear, why would it say, I will laugh, I will mock? Well, because wisdom in those moments, wisdom is not diminished. It seems like salt in the wound when fear and calamity come, and wisdom does exist. The solution of wisdom for human lives, it does exist. It's out there, but it will not help. Such seems to be the role of wisdom in those moments. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. Again, remember, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city, she uttereth her words. She's crying out. She's always doing this. And yet people refuse it. And then they refuse it. And they reach the end of calamity. And they're in their calamity. And they realize wisdom is still out there crying. But it doesn't help me now. It doesn't fix this problem now. I made this mess. Wisdom is always crying and inviting, whether sinners like it or not. When her rejectors are in trouble, she is still there crying, but not to them, because their trouble has come. They have reached their destination on the road of pride. Pride will desert you in your hour of destruction. We're so confident in ourselves. We don't need God's help. I've got this. I'm all figured out. I've got it all figured out. You might remember the illustration Brother Wilhite mentioned of somebody that he knew or knows in Australia, and somebody who was very confident, not afraid to die, very, very self-confident, didn't know the Lord, didn't need to know the Lord. They were fine. And then in their last hours, as they were dying, their confidence fled away from them, and they were very afraid. Pride will desert you in your hour of destruction. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, your pride will not rescue you in those moments. This usually begins sometime in this life. People usually experience some desolation, when some destruction, some distress and anguish, but at least every sinner who rejects God and his wisdom will one day find themselves in terror before the horrible consequences of their actions. I don't think there's any pride in eternity. I don't think anyone in hell is proud. They're in anguish. One day, our inordinate self-esteem will be done away with. Because Romans 14:11 says, "For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Philippians 2:10-11, "That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." There's no praise or no pride at that moment. Pride will desert you in your hour of destruction. And the tables will be turned. I see this here. Earlier in the passage, wisdom is calling and no one's listening. Now look at verse 28. "Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated wisdom and did not choose the fear of the Lord." I see the law of sowing and reaping here. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. "God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." If you reject the call of God and the wisdom of God, and you say, "No, I'm fine, I don't need that, get out of my life," there will come a time when you are calling and no one is there to hear. Wisdom is not there to hear. Wisdom was crying aloud, but was disregarded. Wisdom was extending her hand, but was refused. And now in verse 28, sinners are reaching out for help, but wisdom is not responding. And verse 29 is a sad statement. "For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." That's another way to describe humility, fear the Lord. the fear of the Lord. You put God in his place, and it'll keep you in yours, and you'll be willing to accept his wisdom. And they get what they choose. These people, they receive what they chose. Proverbs 1:31, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They sowed these seeds, and they're eating the fruit of it now. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. These people are getting what is not good for them, and it destroys them. And too late, we realize where our proud choices have brought us. But nothing can be done now. It's too late. And we can broaden this to a point where we can accurately say, God does give us a second chance. And this is why preaching is important. This is why reading your Bible. This is why seeking the Lord. Because you can make a proud choice today, and most of the time, God will give you a chance to repent of it. He'll extend you mercy. But he doesn't have to. He's not obligated to. And one day our proud choices will bring us to destruction. But we don't have to choose that road. We can choose the road of humility. And where does that lead us? I think it's interesting that most of the verses in this passage are talking about all of the destructive things, all of the things that you find on this road of pride, this and that and this other thing and these things. There's so much. There are a myriad of possible forms of destruction to the proud person. So many verses describing it. However, there's a simple, reliable destination on the road of humility. When we turn around at God's reproof and we receive his wisdom, we will arrive in a place of peace. He will give us what we need. Though often it's not what we wanted, which is why pride wants to say no. Proverbs 1:33 is a beautiful verse. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That word safely means carelessly, in the sense of you don't give a thought to it. You're carefree. You don't worry about it. You don't try to control it and take care of it, because it's handled. It's safe. It's secure. It means securely, boldly, confidently, assuredly. You don't even worry about it. It's completely off your mind. You dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. This word quiet, just at ease, rest, without anxiety. And fear of evil, this is a dread or terror. You're at rest. You don't come in contact with this fear of evil. You dwell safely if you hearken to wisdom. I'm reminded of some words of the psalmist. Psalm 18:1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's all those things, and I can rest in him. I can relax in his power. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. But there's death all around. It's a valley. There's shadows. What about? Well, I'm not going to fear any evil. Yeah, it's around me. It's there. It's nearby. It's maybe even within reach. But I am dwelling, I'm trusting in the Lord. I am dwelling safely, and I am quiet from fear of evil. Psalm 26:1, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. I'm quiet from fear of evil. Turn to Psalm 121 and we'll finish. This is this psalm is a blessing to me. We sing it at home as a scripture song, and I have appreciated the truths that are in here. We'll read all 8 verses, and this shows this security that we can have in the Lord, and we ought to have in the Lord. This wisdom that we've read about in Proverbs 1, it's God's wisdom. It's not a third party. We know this. It's from God. It is the truth of God. It's the wisdom of God. And so we're really resting in the Lord. And Psalm 121 talks about this. Verse 1, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Isn't that the one you want helping you? He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. That's dwelling safely, quiet from fear of evil. Not just today, not just in this storm, but forevermore. This is the security that comes from God's wisdom, from God's help. Wisdom is calling out. Do you hear her? She is attracting the attention of those who will humbly respond. Have you seen her? Have you paid attention? You and I are standing before a fork in the road. Praise God for the truth and the wisdom that reveals the end of those two paths that we have to choose from. Do you have the humility to obey? May we choose the right branch, the right road. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for how you present it to us in so many different ways. There are times in our life when we need to hear it a certain way, and then other times when we need to hear it phrased and presented in a different way, and you do that for us. Thank you for the Spirit of God that applies it to our life. Help us to be humble enough to turn at your reproof. We often make mistakes. We head down the wrong road. We're trying our best and we still do it wrong and you reprove us. Other times we fight you and you reprove us and you convict us. Help us to turn. Help us to do that with purpose and to just humbly accept God's wisdom and God's truth so that we can dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil instead of experiencing the calamity and confusion and turmoil and destruction that comes as a result of our pride. Thank you for this book of wisdom. Help us to read it and study it and follow it. Help us to apply it the rest of this week. In Jesus' name I pray.